One day, some ink was spilt onto a beautiful and expensive handkerchief. The mess was observed by an artist who decided to make the best of the situation. So he drew a picture on the cloth and used a spot of ink as part of the scenery. God also is well equipped to do that for us if we are prepared to let Him. It's never too late to do God's will. Failures of the past sometimes curtail our ministry, but they need not poison our attitude. Listen to Paul as he writes to the Ephesians in chapter 5. In verse 15, he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And in verse 17, he says, "Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is." Sometimes we think that we know the will of God. That's why we set about doing the will of God. But oftentimes we find that in the midst of striving to do God's will, we find that things do not always turn out well with us. Circumstances happen. Life happens to us. And sometimes we feel alone. We feel abandoned. We feel that we're not being treated fair. But I'm here to tell you, God can intervene in your life. God can take your life with that blot of sin, with that big mistake, with those wrong choices. And He can take all of these and He can incorporate them into a beautiful portrait. Now, some of us, in fact, most of us, have an unclear notion of success. We hear testimonies of converted movie stars, professional singers, and great athletes. And unconsciously, we assume that all Christians should be like them. But if we're thinking like that, perhaps we have forgotten that not many wise, noble, and mighty are chosen of God. We judge ourselves and others by a false standard. A few noble, wise, and gifted are indeed called, but they are the exception. God usually chooses the weak, the ordinary, and the despised. Knowing this, why then do so many of us believe that we are failures? Perhaps we have a total false notion of success. But no matter what has happened in your life, God can still incorporate you into His program. It is never too late to do the will of God. I'm reminded of Brian and his wife. They were accepted as missionaries in Africa. Evidently, they had misjudged their ability to adapt to the diverse cultural. And soon after they arrived in Africa, they began to resent their new role. They felt that it was unfair of them to sacrifice promising careers for people who did not even appreciate them. They felt isolated, resentful. They felt cheated. Had God called them to Africa? It seems that He had. They would not have been there if they had not believed that God had led them to this missionary work. But the sense of calling had now disappeared. Or at least it seems to them that God was not keeping His side of the bargain. They promised to go if He would bless. They went, but there was no blessing. In order to save face and to give themselves the satisfaction of knowing that they were not quitters, They stayed to the end of their four-year term. And when they returned home, their friends anticipated glowing reports about their missionary endeavors. Could they return home and, with a bit of exaggeration, give the reports the people expected? That was one possibility. But how could they explain why they would not be returning to Africa? Would not this belie their glowing reports? No, they preferred to become a statistic, a missionary casualty. They relocated in a large American city and simply informed their friends that they would not be returning to Africa for health reasons. Such an adjustment was both easy and difficult. Easy because Brian was able to get a job right off the bat. Difficult because they were hounded by the realization that they were failures permanently. No success in America could ever erase that gnawing fact that they had not been able to survive spiritually in the fierce struggle of cross-cultural adaptation. One thought lodged in their mind: they were now doomed to be second-class citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Furthermore, they found it awkward to pray for God's blessings. If they were called to Africa and were now out of God's will, could they sincerely expect God to bless them? Can God bless those who skirt the hard road and substitute an easy one? There are thousands like that out there today. Some have been forced into marriage by pregnancy. Others have faced bankruptcy. Many parents have had to watch their children rebel against Christianity. And countless others are defeated, pessimistic, and guilt-ridden. They are convinced that they will always be second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. But heaven will be filled with surprises. Many successful Christians will be nobodies, and some whose lives are strewn with wreckages of one failure after another will be great in that kingdom. I know you're saying, Brother Atkinson, how can I get back into the graces of God? There's an old song we used to sing when I was growing up. It was simple, and it simply says, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. I'm so glad that I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me and will be with me to the end. Before I step away from the microphone, I want to play a song by Jason Crabb that tells you exactly what I've been trying to tell you. He tells us about one who chose to be our friend, one who believed in me, one who sticks closer than a brother. Let this song bless you.
Through the good times. Show.